coming up to a big deadline here.
We're going
to
see new deals get done.
Touchdown, Prescott.
He's off to the races. Aaron Jones.
Godwin hurdles higher than Cannon.
He's sacked. Dropped again by Shaq Barrett.
Touchdown, Hunter Henry.
Robinson the catch. Touchdown, Chicago.
When you have a franchise guy, you don't risk it.
We are exactly 24 hours away from the deadline to franchise tag players. So you just saw him fist pumping there, Dak in Dallas. Will they finally get a deal done? The clock is literally ticking, but don't hold your breath. These two sides have had no shortage of opportunities to come to terms on a long-term deal. So much so that ESPN's Cowboys reporter Todd Archer put together a list of all the deadlines that have passed, as well as the ones coming up this offseason. Let's run through it. The first one being the end of the 2019 season, as Dak and the Cowboys had the entire 2019 offseason to reach an agreement. With that passing, the focus shifted to last year's franchise tag deadline, March 16th, which resulted in Dallas placing the tag on Prescott. Next up, July 15th of last summer, which came and went without a long-term deal, leaving Prescott to play on the 2020 season under the tag, which brings us to now, the franchise tag deadline, which is on schedule for tomorrow. It could be subject to change with the NFL and NFLPA still finalizing this year's salary cap. Looking ahead, the 2021 draft, April 29th, becomes the next deadline, followed by July 15th, the last day the two sides can reach a long-term agreement without Dak playing the 2021 season under the tag. Welcome to NFL Live. More on Dak in moments, including why someone here thinks tagging him is the worst thing you can do. Also, the Eagles are all in on Jalen Hurts, but should they be looking to 2022, especially with their draft position? Remember, they have the number 6 overall pick. You see it right there. We got Field Yates, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky here today, and my friends. We begin with Dak, of course. Once again, closer and closer to the franchise tag deadline for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. If they don't get something done by tomorrow, this thing could stretch out to July again. But it's not even as cut and dry as that with the salary cap situation. Mina's already rolling her eyes about it stretching out to July. But Field, we start with you. Let's backtrack for a second. What is the deal with the tag deadline potentially moving? How does that affect Dak?
Yeah, so Laura, the nitty-gritty here is because the salary cap has not yet been set between the NFL and the NFLPA, there's a possibility the deadline to apply the franchise or transition tags would be pushed back. This happened last offseason when the deadline was extended until 1 minute prior to the legal tampering period. What it would mean for Dak, though, Laura, is if it does get pushed back by a couple of days or even close to a week, that is more time for the Dallas Cowboys and their quarterback, Dak Prescott, to continue to negotiate the possibility of a long-term contract, which we know is the desired goal for both sides. It's also more time for our own Todd Archer to go update his piece with a new and amended date on those set of deadlines that you just spelled out right there, Laura. But subject to change, as you noted, we'll keep an eye on this one in the next 23 hours and 54 minutes or whatever it is now.
Yeah, there are a lot of deadlines and a lot of them for the Cowboys and Dak to pass. And Dan, when you think about all of this and when it comes to paying Dak, whether it's going to be the franchise tag or a long-term deal, what do you think the team looks like next year?
Well, if they pay Dak or franchise, then the team is going to struggle to kind of support the quarterback. I think the Cowboys have to ask themselves one of two questions, and which one are they willing to answer? Next year, do they want to be the team that is completely salary cap hamstrung? Because if they give Dak the long-term deal like everyone's referencing, they will be salary cap hamstrung and they won't be able to put a lot of good talent around him. And we know that the team is going to be bad. Or do they want to be a team that's looking for a quarterback? And when they're doing that, they'll have obviously a lot more cap space and freedom to figure out what they want to do moving forward. That's the situation that they're in. Now, I think it's the latter. I think that the Cowboys would rather have to address the quarterback situation offseason from now rather than overpay for a player. And I look at it two ways. One, I don't think Dak Prescott is one of those guys that you pay $40-plus million a year to at the quarterback position. And two, I don't think that this is an organization that I believe in to be capable that once you do pay a guy, draft really well, be very strategic with their free agent signings, because that's what would need to happen. So the Cowboys have to answer one of those two questions.
I'm so glad to be back because I've been watching Dan talk about Dak Prescott on vacation. And while I was glad to be off, I was itching to get back in here and tell you why you're wrong. Why it's not only in their best interest to sign Dak to a long-term deal because he's a good quarterback, but because financially it's the best decision for their roster, Dan. A disaster.
Okay.
It would be a disaster if they tagged him this year and then let him walk and had to pay $37.7 million this season, whereas if they give him a long-term deal, they can structure it so that they can kick the can down the road. If you give him a big signing bonus, you can spread that money out, push it to when the cap actually goes up. Use some of those savings this year with a lower cap hit, kind of like what Kansas City has with Mahomes, to address the needs on this team. Defensive line, secondary. You can spend that 10th pick on a cornerback, maybe like a Patrick Surtain or Caleb Farley, to pair with Trevon Diggs. There are so many holes on this roster that they can address if they just clear out some space by paradoxically giving Dak a long-term deal instead of having him play on a franchise tag, which would cost a ton of money this season.
Dan's stuck on you saying paradoxically, but go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, what the heck does paradoxically mean? But here's my thing. When you say like the payment, that then that means you're referencing that Dak Prescott will take less money, and you're the person who's told me he's not going to take less than the franchise. Everyone has said that he won't take less than the franchise tag. So yeah. why would he be willing to do that for the team?
No. He's going to take a lot of money. It's going to be a massive signing bonus, and he'll make a ton of cash this year. It just won't hit the salary cap this year because it would be a signing bonus, this capology. So in the end, it'll hurt. Like, my point is, it's going to hurt Dallas at some point, Dan. They're going to have to pay him a ton of money. But if they give him the long-term deal, and this is the paradox, it doesn't have to hurt them this year when the cap is low and they need that space so that they can contend. And Field, back me up here. They can contend. Look around this division. They've got the best quarterback, and it's not particularly close.
You know, Mina, it's funny. I was going to push back a little bit on Dan. I don't want to pile on Dan here. He's looking suave in the olive shirt there underneath the jacket. But I don't know that this team has that poor of a draft track record. They've had some notable swings in free agency. Others have worked out better than some. I think the Dallas Cowboys' big issue over the past few years, really more than a few years, a half dozen years, has just been underachieving. But I really believe right now there's a case with Dak Prescott that this team is clearly the most talented in the NFC East going into next year, especially with Washington not currently having a quarterback solution. And I really do think, and I know injuries are part of the NFL, the offensive line gets healthy, they infuse the secondary with some talent, and they just make things a little simpler on defense under Dan Quinn. And this team can be the clear-cut favorite going into next year in the NFC East.
Dan?
Nope.
He's so mad.
Because this is my point. You pay Dak Prescott $40 million a year, the expectation is not division title. The expectation is we're paying you to win us a Super Bowl. That's one of my main points, is now, once you pay him that money, you are going to expect him to be a different player than he has been in his first 5 years. And so if you guys want to pay him that, that's fine. But sitting here saying that they're going to win the NFC East, that's not good enough. If you pay him $35 million a year, then we have a conversation. $40 a year, he has to go be a Super Bowl champion. That's exactly my point.
Go, Mina.
And this is always where we end up disagreeing, because I believe if Dak Prescott plays the way he did in 2019, that's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because as you guys lay all that out, it makes you think, well, why would the Cowboys and Dak not just do this? Because this puts them in a really good position, both sides, right?
Yeah.
Except the contention point has always been, from the reporting that we've heard, it's the amount of years that Dallas would like Dak to sign for. Dak saying, I want to be up at a key time. Hey, more on this. Don't worry. We'll continue to talk about Dak and the Cowboys. But, Field, you're back with some other updates with the franchise tag deadline looming. Of course, it's about a little less than 24 hours. Away. What do we know about some key wide receivers who could be tagged? Let's begin with Chris Godwin.
Yeah, let's go to the champs first here, Laura. And the Bucs have several key free agents, including Shaq Barrett. I continue to believe that the most likely franchise tag candidate is wide receiver Chris Godwin, just 25 years old, incredibly productive, a homegrown third-round pick, a guy who would make crazy money on the open market. A franchise tag would make a lot of sense here for Chris Godwin. That would give Shaq Barrett a path, however, to free agency. It's a good problem to have, the Bucks right now. They got a lot of good players who all deserve to get paid and will get paid by somebody. Allen Robinson for the Bears is an interesting one. They've been trying to get a deal done for over a year now. It has not come together, and this is a team that's going to be closely watching where the franchise tag values net out, because Chicago's got a tight cap situation. They're obviously hunting for a quarterback as well, but make no mistake about it, Allen Robinson is their best offensive player. If I'm Chicago, I'm tagging Allen Robinson and figuring everything else out. One more that I think people around the league are keeping an eye on is Kenny Golladay. A little bit of an older player at the conclusion of his rookie contract, but a guy who's really talented, almost had a long-term deal in hand before last season. That never came together. If Detroit doesn't have Kenny Golladay, their wide receiver group is very, very light right now, despite the addition of Tyrell Williams. Kenny Golladay is a natural tag candidate for Detroit, but they're at the beginning of the rebuild, so we shall see.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Seeing Sarah Thomas in the Super Bowl was almost more inspiring to her than anything she had just done. Of course, being making her own history in Division One Power Five football. So it's just hard to even put all this into words. But Mina, I'll go to you in just what you think about not only International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day to you, by the way. But some of the history that we've seen made this year in the NFL and football in general.
It's so cool. And, you know, of course, talking about Sarah Thomas in the Super Bowl, the Bucks, as we've discussed, had two female coaches, Lori Locus and Maral Javadafar. So connection there is pretty clear, guys. If you hire female coaches, you win the Super Bowl. But I can only imagine what it's like being a young girl, a football fan, the way I was, watching them, seeing them on the sideline, and knowing not only that that can lead to that kind of success, but that it exists as a mere possibility, which it did not. We were young, seeing women in all of these roles. It's really inspiring, and it just makes me really happy to see.
Damn. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I'm obviously happy International Women's Day. Shout out to my wife, and who's an amazing mother. Shout out to you too. I saw you guys in that clip. It's awesome to be on television with you guys. And I've said it once and I'll say it 1,000 times, how you guys have carved your own path, trailblazed your own path in many ways. And I say this respectfully, have proved that you belong. I do like the, you know, when Sarah Fuller, I have a daughter. I'm a girl dad. So I have a daughter. And when Sarah Fuller, I wrote it down, said, see what can be. I thought that was really cool. I think that the more that we have people like yourselves and Sarah Thomas and Sarah Fuller representing women in things that maybe haven't been so commonplace in the past is great for little girls. And so celebration, a day of celebration. But like I said, shout out to you two. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, sometimes you have to see somebody else do it first before you believe that you can do it. And the great thing about what we're seeing right now is that all the little girls, my daughter, your daughter, Dan, included, will be able to know that other women did it before them.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Hey, with Carson Wentz now in Indy, all signs point to Jalen Hurts as the starter in Philly. Hurts recently appeared on the Adam Schefter podcast, and when asked about the trade of Wentz, Hurts said, quote, it was just an opportunity for me. It shows the trust in what they think I can be as a player, and I want to prove them right. Here's more from our senior insider Chris Mortensen on Hurts not competing for the quarterback job.
Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, has basically sent the message to his personnel department and his general manager, Howie Roseman, that he wants to do everything he can to help Jalen Hurts be successful and not bring in somebody to compete for the job. Last year, the owner was in favor of drafting Jalen Hurts. Now they have a new head coach, Nick Sirianni. He understands that's what the owner wants. What the owner wants, the owner gets.
So there you have it. The Eagles obviously hoping Hurts can be a franchise quarterback. His rookie season, though, may have left a lot more questions than answers, which makes sense. It's a small sample size. As a starter, Hurts ranked 36th in total QBR and last in completion percentage among 44 quarterbacks with at least 100 pass attempts. On the positive side, though, Hurts showed he could stretch the field with his arm, ranking 10th in air yards per pass attempt, averaging 68 rushing yards per game in his four starts, the highest average of any starting quarterback in the league. Also important to point out that the offense overall just looked better with Hurts as the quarterback. So, Dan, you're our resident Eagles expert. What are your thoughts on this faith that they're showing in Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, I don't think this has anything to do with, like, not wanting to create a quarterback competition or controversy. I think this has everything to do with the fact that the Eagles believe that this kid is their future. I think that they love him that much. I mean, think about it, just what has transpired. First of all, he ran their franchise quarterback that was $100+ million out of town. The guy that I think is going to be really, really good this next coming year. Second of all, in four games, the owner is coming out and saying, nope, we're going to go behind Jalen Hurts. We believe in him that much, and they love him. Like, I truly believe that this organization loves him and believes that he is their next future or their next player at their position. And I believe it's smart to not entertain a quarterback at 6 in the NFL draft this year. One, because of my previous comments about Jalen Hurts. And then two, this team's going to be bad this year. This is a bad roster. So if you believe in him, let's see how he does with a bad roster. And if he plays well with a, you know, chip stacked against them, you're sitting really good. And I think the Eagles are actually building towards that two-year run of 2022 and 2023 because they think they have their quarterback. Now they want to rebuild their roster.
Well, first I'll say Carson Wentz ran himself out of town. But aside from that, I agree with pretty much everything else Dan Orlovsky just said. Most importantly, that this Eagles roster is full of holes. Secondary, linebacker, offensive line, they'll be better, but they need depth there. Wide receiver, I mean, they have a longer shopping list than Dan and Field walking into a Brooks Brothers. And they have an opportunity to address some of those holes in the draft at 6.
I can see them trading down.
Using some of those picks to address some of the needs I mentioned. And like Dan said, giving Jalen a shot. They're probably not going to be a very good football team, but the offense is going to be better than they were at the last season when he was playing behind, much like Carson Wentz, a completely makeshift offensive line. So it'll be a better opportunity for him. Just one where I think everyone's clear, you know, the expectations for this team are not and should not be that high.
Shout out Brooks Brothers, by the way, Mina. Like, thank you. I appreciate you knowing my brand that well. You know, we can talk about a lot of different facets to this conversation, but one thing that I think maybe has gotten a little bit overlooked at times is, and I know Dan said, like, he doesn't believe this is about avoiding a quarterback competition, which could be true. I also think it's viable that the Eagles have a bit of scar tissue. And what's wrong with thrusting a little bit of support behind a young quarterback? We've gotten to the point now where if a guy isn't Justin Herbert in his rookie season, or I know Patrick Mahomes, it was his second season, but it was his first year as a starter, we're already evaluating the succession plan. If you believed enough in Jalen Hurts to take him in the back end of the second round last year to make him your starter, understanding it was in large part because of Carson Wentz's performance, but the way that he played last year showed that he was not out there just because there was nothing left besides Carson Wentz. He's a capable young prospect. There's some value in putting your support behind him. You have a new head coach. Your quarterback's coach is somebody who's got a deep-rooted tie to Jalen Hurts. I think that there is some merit behind the idea of, even if you don't state it publicly, using your actions to show that you are behind this player entirely.
Yeah, I think a big thing, too, is like we got to remember that they have the 6th spot in the draft this year because they were willing to smear their face that night on national television, right? And so they wanted to get up in the draft to get that spot. And so it's paramount that they either take a player that is like a transformational, impactful player in alignment with Jalen Hurts, or that they trade back. And so the big thing for Philly right now is, like, while I love the backfield that Jeffrey Lurie's out there going, yeah, man, we want to support Jalen Hurts, dude, you should be making everybody in the NFL believe that you want every player, right? Like, you love every guy.
Yeah.
Because if a team behind you desires one of those quarterbacks or desires a Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts, you then can look back to your fan base and go, see, guys, us losing on purpose on week 17 got us the sixth pick, and someone traded up and we got three picks out of it. So I love the support, but man, they need a lot of pieces to refurbish this roster with Jalen Hurts.
And that's what's so fascinating about the sixth spot, Dan, because I believe if this team was picking third, they wouldn't be saying this. They would be actively considering that top three of quarterbacks, Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields, who we're going to talk about extensively. But six it's a little awkward because in order to get one of them, you might have to trade up. They still have to rebuild their roster. So I think this is their way of saying maybe it's for sale if anyone wants to move up and get like a Trey Lance. But we also might just take the best player available.
That's an interesting point. And you guys mentioned Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach for the Eagles. Just for those out there who may not know, he's known the Hurts family and Jalen Hurts since he was literally 4 years old. That connection runs incredibly deep.
Where did he come from, Laura?
Incredibly
deep. What
school
did he come from?
Well, yeah, he coached at the University of Florida. He's also been part of Dan Mullen's staff for years back at Mississippi State. Anyway, Dan Orlovsky, now that you did that, I'm going to make Mina do something to you. Mina, you have a drawing that you would like to show us. It's a painting, actually. It's a watercolor. Let's put Dan out here a little bit because I think he's maybe featured in this. Who is that, Mina?
Well, this was a request from our friend Booger McFarlane, and it's Stan Orlovsky and Carson Wentz, who kind of looks like Prince Harry, sharing a shrimp cocktail.
Why a shrimp cocktail?
Look how happy Dan looks. I don't think you've seen him that happy.
Dan
first
would
of
never
all,
eat a shrimp cocktail.
First of all, Mina, you actually made me look relatively good. My ears aren't that big. My nose isn't as profound, so I appreciate that. Second of all, I hate shrimp. I think it's disgusting. Crab cakes only. Third of all, me and Prince Harry would get along very well.
Yeah. What do you think about cocktail sauce?
Oh, please. He's never had cocktail sauce.
He has no idea what it is. We're going to leave it there.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's talk 49ers. You can almost call last season a wash for this team. They were just riddled with injuries, including quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. And if you look to the previous season, when health was on their side, they went to the Super Bowl. Of course, fell short against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. But some have questioned Jimmy G's ability. Still, their GM John Lynch was on the opposite end of the spectrum saying this recently, quote, being available is a big part of this thing, so we probably, as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better. We got to have better options if he, Jimmy G, is not there. I've watched people go through this in their careers where they struggled early, so I believe things can happen, and I believe they will for him. I really believe that Jimmy is our guy. Dan, context important there, but he's saying Jimmy's the guy and also saying he's had too many injuries to know his value, right? Kind of?
Well, I'd say this. The San Francisco 49ers cannot stand pat at the quarterback position. Okay, in the last 5 years for Kyle Shanahan in the NFL, when his starting quarterback has stayed healthy, he's gone to the Super Bowl. Back in Atlanta and then 2 years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo. When those starters stay healthy, Kyle Shanahan goes to the Super Bowl. The problem is it doesn't happen often for him, at least at the quarterback spot. And so I'm thinking we've talked all offseason about what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. And we go like, well, what guy do we like with fit-wise and this and that? Guys, go back to his time with RG3. I wonder what the scarring is with that experience. They were so good and all of a sudden it snapped away because of the injury at the quarterback. And so we've had Justin Fields and Trey Lance potentially going to San Francisco. And I'm thinking Kyle may not want that because he knows those guys are going to be used in the quarterback run more. It may remind him a little bit of RG3. And then I thought, I even said it this morning, like Sam Darnold to the 49ers. But he's missed some games. Jimmy Garoppolo has missed some games. And I just continue to think that the number one thing that Kyle is looking for is a guy that he believes is going to just be the dude for 16 games, to stay healthy for 16 games. That's why I continue to go back to Mac Jones. I think that the 49ers are going to draft Mac Jones because it's a guy that he believes can play at an incredibly high level, but have the history of being injured. They cannot stand pat at the quarterback spot.
So I think if Justin Fields is actually available to San Francisco where they're picking, they would be insane to skip or to pass up on him. But I don't think he'll be available. And I actually don't hate the Mac Jones fit. In fact, the more I think about it, I kind of like it. Like, it's a little counterintuitive because he doesn't really boot out the way we expect Shanahan quarterbacks to. In fact, he almost never did in Alabama. But he's a quick decision maker. He's accurate, willing to use the middle of the field, all the qualities that Kyle Shanahan likes in his quarterbacks, and most importantly, he's cheap. I think this Niners roster got kind of expensive quickly, and all of a sudden they got a bunch of holes at left tackle. Trent Williams is about to become the highest paid left tackle in football, so they probably can't afford him. And then on the other side of football, everyone outside of Jimmy Ward in the secondary is gone. They got free agents all over the place. So if you move on from Garoppolo, you save a little over $20 million in cap space because the way they structured that contract kind of makes sense to move on to a rookie and use some of that savings to build around it. Plus, you know, they're talking about Garoppolo and his injury history and how you didn't really see his upper limit. We saw it. He went to the Super Bowl, and he's why they lost. Like, I hate to say it, but we do know what Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling is. We don't know what Mac Jones' ceiling is.
And Mina, you mentioned the financials, and I hate to be a broken record on this show, but when we're talking about a quarterback's job security, the financials are often a guiding force, and the 49ers have reached the point of Jimmy Garoppolo's contract where cutting him would encourage the $2.8 million dead cap charge, which in the grand scheme of quarterback contracts is not significant at all. So that's the reason why, even though John Lynch said publicly he's our guy for 2021, that's why we, or at least I, say, hey, if something else pops up, it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers went a different direction. This is a team that knows, despite the fact that it can be really good, just 2 years ago they were playing in the Super Bowl, they also play in the most competitive division in the NFL. The NFC West is loaded. The 49ers need to make some noise this offseason so they don't fall behind the likes of Los Angeles and presumably Seattle should Russell Wilson stay.
Yeah, and even Arizona out there adding pieces. Just added no J.J. Watt. So they picked 12, so they'd have to trade up. So that's an interesting piece of all this. But either way, we'll have to track it and see what happens. All right, listen, it's time for a subtle, albeit not so subtle, segment featuring Mina Kimes. Mina whispers. All right, Mina, what are you whispering about right now?
All right, it's actually gonna be a little hard for me to whisper on this one because it gets my blood boiling, but there's been a lot of rumors about the aforementioned Russell Wilson. In particular, we've heard some whispers from other people these days that there's mutual interest with Chicago. I understand why Chicago would want Russell Wilson, but why the heck would Russell Wilson want to go to Chicago? Like, if your issue with Seattle is your offensive scheme, the playmakers, the line, your protection, you want to go to Chicago? And before anyone says I'm being a homer, if this was New Orleans or even Vegas or Dallas, I'd say, yeah, I can see the case. Those are flawed teams outside of New Orleans, but I understand it in offense. This makes no sense. Why would he want to go there? As a quarterback, I just don't understand it. Somebody give me a good reason why Russell Wilson would want to play for the Bears.
Dan, whisper.
Mina, he wants to leave Seattle because their fan base is crazy and they have weird water paintings going on.
Water paintings?
That's why he wants out. He thinks the fan base is, he thinks the fan base is crazy and they don't have a Brooks Brothers.
So it's watercolor.
Thank you, Brooks Brothers.
It's not just water. You can't paint with water. Well, you can, but nothing would be on the
water
page.
Water painting?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, listen.
We're going to try.
Water.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Who do you love so much this week that you're putting them on the Dan wagon?
Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has been so good.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo!
I have to talk about Justin Herbert. They have unlocked him being confident. The White Tiger himself, Rob Gronkowski.
Holy guacamole!
My man Travis Kelce is on the Dan wagon.
Who else is he putting on the wagon? I love it. We got Dan Wagon, NFL Draft Edition here. Dan, who's on the wagon?
The only person that could have a better hair day than the three of us right now. I'm fixing to put on Clemson superstar quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Okay,
whoa.
It's time. It's draft season. Now, why am I putting Trevor Lawrence on? Because he's an elite talent, and he also has elite fundamentals. Now, you watch that. The ball was thrown perfectly. He belongs in the bandwagon. The last thing I'd say about Trevor Lawrence is this. I think he has the most untapped potential at the quarterback position in this draft. I know we think he's a finished product. I think he's going to get leashed even more so in the NFL. He's going to be better than people expect.
Woo! Couldn't agree more, Dan, for once this show. I know that because I found myself in the process where with Trevor Lawrence, I'm looking for flaws. Like, sometimes I'll be like, well, he didn't really drive on that ball outside. The placement was a lot. When you are at that point where you're actively trying to find issues with the prospect, you know that the prospect is elite. I think in reference to the Clemson offense, NFL teams, Jacksonville, should not make the mistake that teams made with Deshaun Watson a few years ago, where I think he was underestimated in some ways because of that offense. You're right. Trevor Lawrence does have room to grow. He makes plays inside, outside of structure. And look, I found another water painting.
Oh, water.
And yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Oh, look at the float.
Look at that water there. Painting.
Hey, listen, off the water painting alone, I would maybe draft Trevor Lawrence number one overall. Good thing is that's going to happen either way. Guys, ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay has five quarterbacks going in the top 10 picks of his latest mock draft. Trevor Lawrence, who we're just talking about, to the Jags. Zach Wilson to the Jets. The Panthers, as you see here, trade up for Justin Fields. The Falcons selecting Trey Lance. The 49ers get in on the action, too, trading up for Mac Jones, as we were just agreeing with and predicting. But, Mina, as you saw that there, what's your first reaction? What sticks out to you?
Trey Lance to Atlanta at 4. It's rich, but I kind of love it. And I've been on a journey with Trey because I'm not going to lie and say I watched his college tape during the NFL season. Obviously, he didn't play this year. He only played one game. So I watched that one game. He was not good, the 2020 game. And then I saw some, only 18 attempts, run heavy offense, and I ruled him out. Then I went back and actually watched his 2019 tape,
yes.
Field notes, because I was blowing up his phone, texting him about it. He has got incredible tools. I mean, the upside is just off the charts,
yes.
Not just the athleticism, and it's not just that he has a cannon for an arm. He has the strongest arm in this class. But he already has a level of accuracy that I would say Josh Allen didn't coming out of college. I mean, the ceiling on this kid is sky high. And for Atlanta in particular, where you've got Matt Ryan, he's not going anywhere this year. Trey Lance can sit, learn for a year, and then him in an Arthur Smith offense, like, that's a dream for Falcons fans in 2022.
Ooh.
Yeah, on the player, I would just quickly note that while he has that cannon of an arm, Mina, I love that he knows how to use his touch and when to use his touch as a thrower. And he's a bully as a runner. I mean, I know it was a different level of competition, but he fended defenders off like they were, like allergic to him or something. My big takeaway from this, Alora, is I wonder if five quarterbacks, if they were to go in the top nine, if that is at all reflective of how NFL GMs and coaches realize that the clock is ticking faster now than ever before, and if the leash is shorter than ever before. Because when you draft a quarterback, ostensibly you reset the clock, and you buy yourself some time. And we're seeing players not even reach the end of their rookie contract as quarterbacks and be benched, traded, cut, you name it. I wonder if that's part of what we're going to see now going forward, is that teams are going to say, if we don't take a quarterback now, we may not get one. And if we don't get a quarterback, we're toast. We're looking for a job elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is number one, and then Zach Wilson has skyrocketed up people's boards like Prince Harry after the interview last night.
Oh, boy.
But really, three is Mac Jones, four is Justin Fields, and five is Trey Lance. But, guys, three through five are really interchangeable for me. I mean, it's going to be so dependent on where they go and who they're with, and I like a guy's fit to excel way more in another area versus a certain player. Trey Lance, the best way I'll describe him is he's an oxymoron. For me, there's this calm restlessness when he plays. Like, you watch him play, and we often talk about quarterbacks, and they're like, ah, that guy gets hung on number one. Not a problem for Trey Lance. Like, if number one's not there, he doesn't like that first read, he'll get on to number two. Even if he passes up an open guy, like, he's just trained really well, or, you know what, the seam of the offensive line is open, don't care, I'm gone, you know? And I like that. There's that decisiveness, but it's an oxymoron, because he's restless with his, in kind of his play style, but he's calm. He's not chaotic. He's not out of place. And so there's a lot to like about him. They rave about him as a kid. So if he goes to Atlanta, love it. I'm with you, Mina. Absolute home run.
Yeah, Mina actually texted us over the weekend that this may be one of the best quarterback classes we've seen in quite some time. It just gets so much more interesting as we keep going. All right, guys, time for one more thing before we go. And for this, a big shout out to our guy, Marcus Spears. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Marcus. I don't think he's watching us right now, but we are going to show some great highlights of Marcus.
No, I'm raising my hand so you can call on me. Let me let everybody in on a joke. Ryan and Mina are feeling real froggy right now. If I'm eating beef, I'm eating prime beef. I'm going to have me a glass of yak tonight. 17 centimeters is my box jump.
It's a tiny violin.
Like, I want to be one of his boys. I'm going to represent. We got it all, baby. We need to go to commercial. Bye-bye. Peace. Nobody catch it.
Let's get it popped.
This is Marcus and Mom. Popping in to give my big swagoo a shout out.
I'm crying, y'all. Look at the light. Look at me. You can see me. You can see me. You can see me. Let's go.
Oh, he's just the most wonderful human being. Marcus, we love you. We hope you're having so much fun today. Dan, you're big
Happy
man
birthday.
Balling over
Let's
there.
Go.
I love it.
Yeah.
You got the shirt on.
I gotta wear the guy shirt.
Oh, wow.
I got the picture in the background. Happy birthday, homie.
Basically, Mina, we're
it's
just
a long
Marcus
bromance
Spears
right there. I love it. Birthday swagoo.
Real quick,
25 looks good on you.
All I gotta say about Marcus Spears is it is physically impossible to be in a bad mood when you're either with him or watching him on TV because he's that special.
Doubt.
He's human joy. Enjoy your birthday, Marcus. We can't wait to see you when you're back here with us. And
Same,
yeah,
bro.
Don't worry. We'll be on that yak for you tonight in celebration.